Welcome to The Gut Connection with Brian Jerby, MD, where we discuss the connection that gastrointestinal health has with all of health. We review the latest research and interview the greatest minds in this rapidly advancing field of gut health and integrative functional medicine. Please keep in mind that this podcast is provided for educational purposes only and should not be considered a substitute for care from a licensed medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that this does not constitute medical advice or other medical services. If you would like more information about Dr. Jerby and the type of medical care that he provides, please visit drjerby.com. That's drjerby.com. Now, let's get to this episode of The Gut Connection. Okay, welcome back to another episode of The Gut Connection. We're so glad to have you here again, and we are going to pick up where we left off with the last episode. We have been talking about the next wave in precision medicine, which is sequencing the genes of your microbiome. We talked about why this is true and, you know, why it's going to be the next wave, and then talked a little bit about how it's going to affect cancer treatment as well as the treatment of metabolic disorders and how it is affecting and has affected obstetrics and gynecology, for instance. Definitely exciting stuff for advancement in each of these fields. So what it boils down to is this. I know many of you might have had your inherited genes sequenced, you know, the genes that you got from your parents. and maybe you did something like 23andMe or something similar. And I'm definitely in favor of this. But at this point, we're unable to permanently change our familial genetic makeup, okay? So we can know a lot about our genes, but what to do about it is still in question. We might be able to affect the expression of those genes, but we're certainly unable to actually change the genes at this point, okay? So the point that we made last time was you are more than just your familial genes, though. Okay, your health is greatly influenced by the genetic makeup of your microbiome as well. And this is exciting because the microbiome is definitely something that we can adjust and change and optimize, and we will have more and more ability to do this as more research comes out and more methods for precise alteration of your gut microbiome becomes available. So let's jump right back into this topic, and we are going to start out with how the genetic makeup of your gut microbiome affects psychiatric or mental health and mood and anxiety, etc. So let's jump right back into it. So when it comes to psychiatric or mental health disorders or mood disorders, there's a whole new area of research called psychobiotics, or in other words, treatment with bacterial species that improves mental health in this area. And this whole field needs to be researched more, of course. But there are a number of studies that show that adjustment of the gut microbiome can have a favorable impact on mental health disorders, not the least of which is like depression and anxiety, which a lot of us have. Furthermore, there are a number of studies that show that commonly used antidepressant medications have some degree of antibacterial activity that may result in increased diversity of the fecal microbiota, therefore It's possible that one aspect of the treatment with antidepressant medications actually results in improvement of mood related to a favorable change in your gut bugs. Again, more research obviously needs to be done in this area and is being done, so stay tuned for new developments. Now let's talk about some of the well-defined axes that you might have heard of, including the gut-lung axis, the gut-brain axis, the gut-skin axis, and so on. So beginning with the gut-lung axis, it should be noted that even though these organs are anatomically distinct from each other, the microbial kingdoms at the respiratory digestive tract level have a dynamic interaction. So the bugs in your gut are interacting with the bugs in your lungs and your respiratory tree. And that interaction plays a significant role in the homeostasis or balance of the entire body. And therefore, when this balance is disrupted, then diseases can develop. The most recent evidence of this is the relationship of the gut microbiota to the severity of COVID-19. And studies show that people were more likely to develop severe forms of COVID-19 if they already had gut dysbiosis. So if their gut bacterial balance was already off, then they were more likely to get more severe forms of COVID-19. And if you're interested in this topic, then I would refer you back to one of our previous podcast episodes, which investigated the link between gut microbial imbalance and long COVID. Other ways this is demonstrated is in studies that show that the impairment of the gut-lung microbial axis was shown to be associated with an increased prevalence of asthma. And other studies show that early supplementation with probiotics can actually decrease the risk of asthma developing in childhood. But not only asthma, but also chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, and for that matter, any inflammatory lung disease. In fact, I have a patient who began to develop idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which is an inflammatory disease of sorts of the lungs, and we adjusted her microbial balances in her gut, and lo and behold, it arrested or stopped the progression of her lung disease. And her pulmonologist told her that she would be on oxygen in 6 months, from the last time he saw her. And at my last contact with her, it confirmed that she never did develop progressive disease, has never needed oxygen, and is frequently hiking in the mountains of North Carolina without restriction. So there you go. Another example of how the microbiome can be, or, microbiome medicine or treatment of the microbiome can be a treatment for diseases outside the gut. Okay, now let's talk about the gut-brain axis, which many of you have heard of, and the relationship between the intestinal microbial diversity and brain function. And this study has gained increasing amounts of attention in the scientific and medical literature over the past several years, if you've been following it. And there is an increasing body of evidence that shows that bidirectional interaction, like a two-way highway between the gut and the brain, and it's what I described to a patient as, a two-lane highway back and forth, since the gut can influence brain function and brain function can influence the gut. This accumulating evidence also confirms the key role of gut bacterial imbalance or dysbiosis in neurodegenerative processes such as things like Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, schizophrenia, other things like autism spectrum disorder. You know, they're all linked. And without going into detail that's unnecessary, suffice it to say that the gut microbial imbalances can lead to a deposition of substances in the brain, as we see with diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. It can also play a role in the degradation of myelin, which, you know, is the coating around nerves that helps speed conduction. And that demyelination process is what we see in multiple sclerosis. So you can see the link there. On top of that, age-related alterations in the gut microbiome composition are also associated with what is known this day and age as inflammaging, which, you know, is an example to say your aging process is sped up with inflammation. And that's a result of immune system activation in older folks and disruption of the intestinal barrier, skin microbiome, and diet, you know, as well as hormonal imbalance. So you can see all those links there. The blood-brain barrier, which induces inflammation in the brain and neurodegeneration, is linked. And I'm sure a lot of you have been seeing research news about that. And again, without going into too much detail, there are some studies that show that synbiotics, S-Y-N-B-I-O-T-I-C-S, synbiotics, which again is a mixture of probiotics and substances that are selectively utilized by the gut to improve function. These synbiotics have been shown to help attenuate neuroinflammation and therefore should be considered whenever neurodegenerative disorders are encountered. So doctors should be thinking about this link. In other words, when they see folks with, say, like Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, etc. So finally, let's talk about the gut-skin axis very briefly, a fascinating topic, no doubt. And you may or may not know that the skin is the largest organ of your body and plays a significant barrier function. It has a sophisticated immune system and also hosts its own microbiome. So the microbiome of your skin is different from what's, you know, in your gut or anywhere else in your body. Of course, the balance of the skin microbiome is definitely important, but it may surprise you, or maybe not, to know that the skin microbiome is influenced by alterations in the gut microbiome. And again, there's that two-way bidirectional crosstalk between the skin and the gut microbes. And we refer to this as the gut-skin microbiota axis. Okay, so this intimate relationship, if altered, has been shown to be associated with many skin diseases such as psoriasis, atopic dermatitis, skin cancer, acne, and similar skin problems. In fact, when it comes to acne, it appears that not only is there an alteration in the balance of the skin microbes, but also an alteration in the gut microbial communities. And then these alterations then result in development of acne. So, you know, you can get acne when you have increased stress, as you might know, and it appears that stress increases intestinal permeability, which leads to skin inflammation. You know, it's kind of a vicious cycle. But the point is that treatment needs to be, you know, addressing the gut microbiota as well. So if you've got acne or skin issues, don't let your doctor forget about your gut microbes, your gut bacterial balance. Okay, now you've got all this information, and the big question is this. What are some of the therapeutic strategies? What can you do about this? What can you manipulate to, you know, in a positive way when it comes down to the gut microbiome, since it has such an impact on health overall? Well, again, I've got to emphasize that there is no one-size-fits-all treatment, and therefore treatments need to be based on a person's individual microbiome makeup with its unique array of populations of different bacteria. And, you know, I've looked at thousands of these tests that look at the bacterial balances, and there's never two tests that are exactly the same. However, there are some general points to make when it comes to specific diseases. For instance, with diabetes, the bacteria called Akkermansia can improve glucose control through decreasing gastrointestinal permeability and lowering endotoxemia, meaning lowering the ability of LPS to get into the bloodstream and to the immune system, among other, you know, other effects. Increasing your short-chain fatty acids, especially butyrate, has been linked to improving energy metabolism and therefore promotion of butyrate-producing bacteria may be helpful. Fortunately, we're seeing more specific probiotics that are becoming available on the market at this time, and therefore we are going to be able to be more and more precise when it comes to treating people's deficient microorganisms. Or we get a test and we see that they're deficient in something, we are going to be able to address that more specifically. So if you have diabetes or even pre-diabetes, then you may want to consider undergoing microbiome sequencing and evaluation to learn what your specific set of imbalances are. And this is also the case with autoimmune diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis. You know, you would need to get your particular set of imbalances evaluated for a more precise approach to your particular situation. There's no one size fits all, no cookie cutter approaches. It may be that Lactobacillus casei could be helpful if you are Lactobacillus species low, or you're low in the Lactobacillus species. Bacillus coagulans has been studied as a potential adjunctive therapeutic option, and a rheumatoid arthritis study showed that administration of Bacillus coagulans led to improvement of pain and disability in people with rheumatoid arthritis, as well as a lowering of inflammatory markers when it was compared to the placebo group. This same situation is true for a number of skin-related diseases, and all of my patients who come to me with skin issues undergo some level of fecal microbiome evaluation, and then the imbalances are addressed as specifically as possible given the current array of treatment choices, which thankfully are increasing. But obviously, I'm hopeful that these options are going to continue to expand as time goes on and as research advances the field. Another field that's rapidly advancing is the use of gut microbiome metabolites, which include short-chain fatty acids such as butyrate, all the way up to using a postbiotic preparation where donor feces has been, you know, the bacteria has been killed or it's been sterilized, but that leaves behind the full array of metabolites that those bacteria, when alive, had been producing in a healthy stool specimen. And this is a promising area of clinical research, and hopefully more research data will be available in the near future to show how this might be helpful in situations But I do currently use it when I'm trying to do a major repopulation of the gut without going as far as a fecal microbial transplant. So this is something that can be done today. We just need increasing amounts of data, as with everything. So let's kind of bring this plane to a landing. We'll begin to bring this podcast to a close, and I would like for you to have these takeaway points in light of all this research that I've reviewed and hopefully have not bored you with. So takeaway point number one, no matter what you do, try to spend more time outside interacting and coming in contact with nature. There is an emerging amount of evidence that suggests that the reason that our guts are so messed up in our day and time, whereas they've not been messed up, or not this messed up in past decades, is that we spend 90% of our time in human-made buildings or enclosures, like cars and the like. So get outside, enjoy the outdoors. It's good for your gut and definitely for your overall health. Number two, if you have a health condition, no matter what it is, your gut microbiome may be and probably is playing a role. It would probably be a good idea for you to get with someone who does microbiome medicine for further evaluation and discussion about how you might be able to favorably adjust your microbiome based on the results that are obtained, you know, from your studies. The great news is that now we have more sophisticated ways to find out about the genetic makeup of your particular unique gut microbiome, and therefore we can treat your unique set of imbalances more precisely and not only treat current health conditions, but also help prevent the development of others in doing so. Number three, the third and final point, which is that microbiome medicine is a developing field that I predict will be a clinical revolution in the next 10 years and will definitely be the backbone of precision medicine, and it will continue to evolve as something that can be evaluated on an individual basis and then can be therapeutically adjusted to benefit not only those who have conditions that are diagnosed currently, but also for people who may be at risk for developing conditions, health conditions, and therefore the risk can be decreased by manipulation of your gut microbiome. So obviously, you can tell that I'm super excited about this field, and we are trying to stay on the cutting edge of the research. And therefore, I'm trying to get the message out there that this is definitely the next wave of therapy for all fields of medicine, including allergy and immunology, for example, oncology, gastroenterology. Can you believe that gastroenterology hasn't grabbed onto this yet? I can't believe it either, but definitely gastroenterology, dermatology, obstetrics and gynecology. Who would have thought that? And the list goes on and on. It affects every field of medicine, and every field of medicine needs to be investigating these areas and incorporating the research into their treatments. So if any of you out there who are listening are practitioners in any of these areas that I just mentioned, it's time to get busy and to read more of the research and see where you can help benefit your patients by, you know, adjusting their microbiome according to their individual set of imbalances. So having said all that, and that's a lot of information, we're going to say that'll do it for another podcast episode. Thanks again for listening to us here on The Gut Connection. Hope this has been beneficial. And if you have enjoyed what you've heard please, please give us a favorable review on your podcast player so that we can have more people hear this message. And as always, if you have a chronic unexplained GI condition or health condition and need help, you can reach out to us by checking our website and for ways to do that, or give us a call. You can see our number listed in the show notes as well as on our website. I hope that you all have a great week, and I hope to see you again next time on the Gut Connection. Bye-bye, and God bless you. And that ends this episode of the Gut Connection. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to having you back for our next episode, where we'll discuss more gut-related topics and interview leaders in this rapidly advancing field. If you would like more information, please visit us at drjerby.com. That's drjerby.com. Until next time, take care and may God bless you.